All right, Five Forks Baptist, we are ready for our time of offering. Now, I'm going to take just a moment and I am going to pray for the tithes and offerings that we're getting ready to receive. But I wanted to just make you aware in this strange time that we find ourselves living through how you can still give to the ministry of Five Forks Baptist Church. Really, there are three fundamental ways that we are encouraging people to give. First of all, if you'd like to mail your check, you are certainly welcome to do that. And our church's address, 112 Batesville Road, Simpsonville, South Carolina, 29681. And that's perfectly fine. We have people who do that each week anyway. Secondly, if you bank through any of the major banks, like for instance, I use Wells Fargo, and they all have an option for online banking. So you can go through an online portal and you can pay your bills online. Many of you are already doing that. Well, you can go ahead and just send your check to Five Forks Baptist Church through that online portal as well. But third, we wanted to make you aware, and many of you actually already use this, but if you go to our website, www.fiveforks.org, then it will, up in the upper right-hand side of the screen, you will see a little button that says Give. And when you click on that button, it will take you to a portal where you can give through our website. It's completely secure. And here's what will happen with that. You can either set it up for a reoccurring gift, or you can just do a one-time gift. So if you know you're not going to be using this except just in this short-term time, then you can just do a one-time gift that way, and that will come directly to us. So we want to let you know that you still have the ability, and we're thankful for the ability that we have for you to support the ministry of all that God is doing at Five Forks Baptist Church, even in this strange time we find ourselves living through. So let's go ahead and pray, and we're going to ask the Lord to bless the gifts that Five Forks Baptist Church receives during the course of this week. Let's go to the Lord. Father, we recognize that this world is yours. Father, a few weeks ago, during this time, when we were in worship service together physically, I prayed, and in my prayer, I used this verse, "The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and all who dwell in it." And Lord, that applies so much to our giving today, but that applies so much to our situation today as well. Lord, this planet is yours. It belongs to you. You are not shaken or taken by surprise when difficult situations arise. Rather, you have that amazing ability to trump the bad that happens for your glory and the good of your children. And we know you're doing that even as we speak right now. So, Father, I pray that you would bless the gifts that are received during the course of this week, that you would give us wisdom in how to use those gifts so that your kingdom can be expanded, even in a time like this, and especially in a time like this. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good morning again, Five Forks family. It is so good to be able to come to you today and to share the Word of God. We're in a strange season right now, so I wanted to bring the Word of God to bear on what we see happening in the world all around us today. I was thinking about this week. For about a decade after 9/11, the Homeland Security Department instituted in this country what was called the Homeland Security Advisory System. And if you've ever seen that chart, it was essentially a chart that had these different color levels that were used to indicate different levels of danger or different levels of threat that the American people might have been facing. It was information gathered by intelligence agencies agencies that were used to help them to be able to communicate to us. Now, whether you know it or not, whether you understand it or not, every day of your life, you use something similar to that to chart your own personal anxiety. Think about the events of the last few weeks and think about that anxiety scenario. So first of all, you hear about a far-off virus in a far-flung country, and it sounds serious for them. Your anxiety alert level is green. It's low. It's that lowest level. But then the news in the coming weeks continues. The CDC confirms that a case has been discovered right here in the United States, and additional measures are going to need to happen. Your anxiety alert level goes up a little bit more to blue, to guarded. A few days later, you begin hearing that multiple states now have cases, including your own, through something called community spread. We've learned all this new terminology lately, and there have been multiple U.S. deaths. Your anxiety alert level goes up to yellow, elevated. You start checking other sources of information, and as the hours tick off, you begin to see images of the president and his task force in front of all of the cameras, and a national emergency is declared. And at this point, your anxiety alert level has gone up to orange high, and you begin to get nervous with all this, so you go to the store to stock up on some stuff, and you start seeing empty shelves in locations, and your anxiety alert level goes through the roof to severe. Folks, some people call it tension. Others call it anxiety. You're going to see in a moment, Jesus calls it worry. I'm calling it right now the fear of the future. In a lot of ways, we are indeed a fearful nation right now. We're a nation of worriers, and we were a nation of worriers well before this began taking place. For example, we worry that we'll be left alone in the future, that we won't know what to do when we get to the future, that technology will outpace us. We worry that we won't have what we need in the future. We worry that we'll be hurt by someone or something in the future, that we'll lose someone dear to us in the future. We worry that we may not make it into the future. Why do you think the number one presidential concern every single presidential election year is always about the economy? The economy is not really about your money. It's about the future. It's about what's going to happen next. Let me make a clarification, though. There is a difference between worry and concern. If you are not concerned about your kids playing in the street in traffic, then you're not being a good parent. If you're not concerned about saving money for a future retirement, then that's a difficult situation you're putting yourself in. If you are not concerned about COVID-19 right now, then you are not taking it seriously enough. There are certain things every day that you need to do and think about, and you need to legitimately be concerned about. There is a difference between being carefree and careless. Now, I'm not talking about legitimate concerns right here. I'm talking about illegitimate worry. Concern focuses on the present. Worry takes you out into the future. Jesus took that fear head on in Matthew chapter 6. If you have a Bible, go ahead and open it to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to begin in verse 25 today. Now, I want to encourage you as well. If you're following along with us digitally, then on Facebook, you had a digital link delivered to you this morning, and you have the opportunity to be able to look at that, bring up a digital version of these notes that'll be a help to you. So feel free to go ahead and access that as well. But listen to what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6 here. This is why I tell you. And then he begins a string of three phrases that begin with, don't worry. This is why I tell you. Don't worry about your life, what you'll eat, or what you'll drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the sky. They don't sow or reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth more than they? Can any of you add a single cubit to his height by worrying? And why do you worry about clothes? Learn how the wildflowers of the field grow. They don't labor or spin thread, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was adorned like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and thrown into the furnace tomorrow, won't he do much more for you, you of little faith? So don't worry, saying, what will we eat? Or what will we drink? Or what will we wear? For the idolaters eagerly seek after these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Now that God's spoken to us through the reading of his word, let's speak with him in prayer. Father, we recognize in a world in which we live today, there is no peace, there is no hope, there is no security without you. And so, Lord, we ask you to bring the resources of the Word of God to bear in our hearts today, the hearts of a people who need to hear from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Worry has been defined as the interest we pay in advance today for trouble that may never come tomorrow. Now, the problem with worrying and fear about the future is simply this. When you worry and get so concerned with future things, you are functioning and acting like a spiritual orphan. You're acting like either there is no God, or if there is a God, he's powerless to help you. What you're really saying is, I don't really believe that God can do what he said he would do. George Truett put it this way. He said, worry, functional worry, is acting like a functional atheist. Now, occasionally I am a worrier myself, and it is a lot easier to talk about overcoming worry than it is to overcome worry. We can take what Jesus said, though, in Matthew 6, and it can give us some practical steps for us to be able to overcome that fear of the future and keep that anxiety level where it needs to be, down in that green level. So three things I want you to see today to help you fear less. Number one, remember how God has performed in the past. Remember how God has performed in the past. I'm going to make a statement right now that I hope will speak volumes to you about how God can help you in the future. Are you ready? Here's the statement. You're here right now, aren't you? Whatever happened in the past, up to this point, you've survived. A little bit beaten up, a little bruised maybe, but you are still here and you are still standing. One of the greatest leaders who ever lived, Moses. Moses had a great habit of sitting the children of Israel down from time to time, just sitting them down to calm them down. And then he would begin to recount in their lives all of the ways God had taken care of them up until that point. Deuteronomy chapter 1, he makes this statement. He says, "The Lord your God is going before you. He will fight for you just as you saw him do in Egypt. And you saw how the Lord your God cared for you again and again here in the wilderness, just as a father cares for his child." Now Moses is asking them to go down memory lane right now and just remember what God has already done for them. Did they remember the parting of the Red Sea? Did they remember the pillar of fire that led them by night and the pillar of cloud that led them by day? Did they remember how God destroyed the Egyptian army back behind them? Even now in the wilderness, here were millions of people who needed to have food. How was God feeding them? Every morning, he gave them manna, which was bread. Then at night, he would give them quail. They didn't even have to bake the bread or hunt the quail. God just delivered it to them. When they needed water, Moses would walk up to a rock and speak to the rock, and water would come out of the rock. The whole point that Moses is making is this. Do you see how God performed in the past? Were you hungry? I will harness the forces of nature to feed you, is what God's saying. Are you thirsty? That's not a problem for me. Do you see how God has performed in the past? Don't you think that the God who took care of you in the past can take care of you in the present and is going to continue to take care of you in the future? God said something amazing to the nation of Israel through the prophet Isaiah. Listen to these words. "Listen to me, all you who remain of the house of Israel, whom I have upheld since you were conceived and have cared for you since before you were born." Now get that in your mind. From the moment you were conceived in your mother's womb, from the moment that first unique cell became the person that is you, God was upholding you. You would not be here today if God had not nurtured you in the past, before you even knew what was going on. Even when you didn't even know there was a God, the God you didn't even know about loved you and was very carefully watching over you. In fact, you don't even know, I don't even know, all of the trials and tragedies that we've missed because God was watching over us. Listen to what else he says. He says, "I will still be the same when you are old and gray, and I will take care of you. I created you. I will carry you and will always keep you safe." See, your life is really like two different bookends, if you will. Bookend number one is when you were born. Bookend number two is one day, eventually, when you will breathe your last breath and leave this planet in death. But everywhere in between there, God says, "I'll always be there. I'll always take care of you." You ever notice these days? Boy, now that I have teenagers, I'm seeing this a lot. You ever notice how everything's kind of going retro? Shoes, clothes, food, cars, that sort of thing. When I was growing up, my mom used to patch my blue jeans if they got holes in them. Now today, kids are buying jeans that have holes in them. You know how that works? Now going retro really isn't all that bad, especially when it comes to fearing the future. Every one of you listening to me today can remember a time in the past You're probably thinking of it right now. You can link to a moment in the past and say, I remember when God took care of me in this instance or in that instance. If you will remember how God has performed in the past, it will give you courage to be able to face the future. If you feel like the Egyptian army is behind you, the Red Sea's in front of you, and you've got nowhere else to go, then get retro and remember how God has protected you in the past and how God has been faithful in the past, and realize that the God who was faithful in the past is still the same God who will be present with you today and will continue to be faithful in the future. So first of all, remember how God has performed in the past. But second, I want you to realize what God has promised in the present. Realize what God has promised in the present. Beginning in verse 25, I told you, we've kind of picked up on this in the reading of the text, three different times Jesus has this cadence to his speech like a good preacher does, and he repeats this phrase three different times, do not worry. And again, when Jesus is talking about worry, what's he talking about? He's talking about tomorrow. If you think about it, worry is always about tomorrow. Worry's not about today. You act in the present. You act today. You think about and fret about tomorrow. If I could guarantee you something today, if I could guarantee you that you would never, ever, 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 ever have a problem in the future that you could not handle or that could not be taken care of, then you would never worry about anything else ever again because you would have that security in the future. Worry's always about the future. But once again, we can use the present to help us to take care of the future. Verse 34, Jesus says this, each day has enough trouble of its own. In other words, you've got to take today, the only day you have. Yesterday was a memory. Tomorrow isn't promised. The only day you have is today. So take that day, the day you've got, Jesus says, and says, how can I depend on God today? The way you do it is to realize what God has promised you just for today. Here's one of the promises of God just for today. Psalm 32:8 says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. Here's another one. The Lord himself, this is Deuteronomy 31:8. The Lord himself will go before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you. He will not forget you. Don't be afraid and don't worry. Now these are two different promises, but put them together and what do you see? Today I will guide you. Today I will guard you. Today, I will give you what you need to keep you out of the face of trouble. There's something you and I can do that God cannot do. I know that's somewhat shocking to you when you make a statement like that, but let me tell you the one thing that you can do and I can do that God can't do. You and I can break a promise, and God cannot. God never has, and God never will break a promise. I need to realize what God has promised in the present. Jesus even used an illustration that we kind of all experience every single day. He gives a simple piece of advice for something that will help you with your worry. What does Jesus tell you to do? He says, you need to become a bird watcher. What does he say? Verse 25. This is why I tell you, Don't worry about your life, what you'll eat, what you'll drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothing? And then verse 26, he kind of zeroes in on it. Look at the birds of the sky. They don't sow or reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth more than they? Y'all, have you ever seen a worried bird? I haven't. Have you ever seen a bird that was treated for hypertension? A bird that had high blood pressure? A bird that had too much stress in its life? Think about it. Fear of the future isn't even for the birds, is what Jesus is saying. So there is a great lesson perched in this illustration that we can kind of go to every single day. If God takes care of the little tiny birds, don't you think that he'll take care of you as well? Everybody listening to me today is more than likely listening to me from a place where there is a roof over your head, where there is food that is already prepared on your table, and there are clothes in your closet, and every one of those things is a neon light that is flashing to you big and bright right now. God saying, I am taking care of you today. I will continue to take care of you tomorrow. Remember how God has performed in the past. Realize what God has promised you in the present. But third, rely on what God has planned in the future. Rely on it. Listen to verse 34 one more time. You're going to find in this simple sentence what Jesus had to say about fear of the future. It says, give your entire attention to what God is doing right now. Don't get worked up about whether or not it might happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. If you are a child of God, if you are a follower of Christ, there is something definitive I can tell you about your future. As a matter of fact, I can guarantee it. Here it is. Everything that happens in your future will work out for your good. That's not speculation. That's not positive thinking. That's God's word. Romans 8:28. We know that God causes everything, that includes everything in the future, to work together for the good of those who love God. God is even right now making plans to take bad things that happen. And make no mistake, there are bad things that happen. COVID-19 isn't good. There's nothing good about it. But here's what God's saying. I have the ability to take even things that are bad and bring a good result about independent of those bad things. When you obey God today, and then you trust God for tomorrow, you've found the antidote for your fear of the future. Folks, the ministry of Five Forks Baptist Church, everything that we do as a church has to be a God thing. But God cannot do a great work in the future unless his people are willing to step out in faith in the present. I was so encouraged this past week when we received 45 commitment cards from people who said, here's my one that I'm going to be inviting to Easter service here in a few weeks. I want to encourage you. Continue making those plans. Don't let 15 days of spending a lot of time at home interrupt that plan to pray for that person, to pray for your pastor, to pray for other people's ones, and then to invite that person to church. I want you to remember something when we talk about the past, the present, and the future. We kind of have these boxes, past, present, and future. Yesterday's gone. You can't do a thing about yesterday. Tomorrow isn't here. It's ephemeral out there. You can't touch it. You can't do anything with it. All you can do is live in the present. The best thing about the future is it only comes one day at a time. Today, you need to be concerned about today. I want to close by sharing a couple of thoughts with you. First of all, worry is an optional misery. You don't have to worry. Nobody forces it on you. Every time you're worried, you're choosing to worry. Every time you fear the future, you're choosing to fear the future. This is one area where those of us who are real followers of Jesus Christ have an advantage over those who are not. Because when you know this book, when you know the Word of God, and when you trust God for what He has said, you know that He will be able to make good in your life. And so you don't need to worry. Has it ever occurred to you that nothing has ever occurred to God? God doesn't sit up in heaven and say, "Oh, I just had an idea." Nothing's ever surprised God. Nothing has ever caught Him off guard. He already knows the final score of the game of your life. And if you are one of His children, you win. Here's a second piece of advice. Leave tomorrow alone. When tomorrow comes, God will give you the grace and the strength that you need to be able to face tomorrow. For today, you have the grace and the strength that you need to face today. Your calendar gives each day its own number. Live them in that order exactly the way God has arranged them. Stay in one square at a time. Live one day at a time. Now, don't get the impression from this that I've been telling everybody not to worry. Because if you don't know Jesus as your Savior today, there are two very real things that you need to worry about. You'd better be worried about death. And you'd better be worried about judgment. And you'd better fear a future without God. Once again, that is the beauty of the cross of Jesus Christ. Jesus died. Jesus came to this planet, lived a perfect life, died a death He didn't have to die, not just a normal death, a death that the worst criminals deserved. But Jesus didn't stay dead. Folks, if you want some hope in this time, you're about to get it 3 weeks from now when we celebrate Easter, the hope of a man that not even death could stop. 3 days later, He rose from the grave. And that one who defeated death, that one who defeated sin, has the ability to defeat them in your life as well. So if you don't know Jesus, today is the day for you to know Jesus. The Bible says it like this: now is the accepted or the welcome time. Today is the day of salvation. I don't know what the future eventually holds, neither do you. But I know who holds the future in His hands. And if you are in His hands, you need never fear the future again. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word and for what it means in our lives. Help us now as we respond to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, if you are here and you don't know Jesus, then very simply, I'm going to lead you in a prayer that will help you to find Jesus, to find hope, and to find peace. Let me pray with you. Just pray something like this. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. Please forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and save my soul. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Help me to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer, you are now, congratulations, you are a member of the family of God if you meant that. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to respond to us, reach out to us, either through our website, which has contact information for all of us, including me. You can email me, tim@fivefoorks.org. Or you can reach out through Facebook or Instagram. If you've been watching through that link, then go ahead and message us and let us know that you've trusted Jesus as your personal Savior. We would love to celebrate with you and to give you some material that'll be a help to you in this new life you're going to be living. If you're a believer in Jesus, I want to encourage you today to make that decision to fear less. Let me close us in prayer. Lord Jesus, you are the God who has all things in your hand. You've got the whole world in your hands, as the song we used to sing says. This world belongs to you. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll help us to trust you with it. In Jesus' name. Amen.